This is Dr. Jen Landa, OBGYN and hormone specialist, and I want to teach you to rev up your energy, revitalize your mood, and finally drop the weight so that you can find your fit, fantastic you. Now, in this seminar, I'm going to teach you 8 things that you need to know to rev up your energy, and trust me, they're easy, simple changes to make. I'm going to tell you about some things you may have believed before, things that we all used to believe in the old days. And I'm going to show you the new way to get your spark back. Are you ready? I'm going to assume you gave me a big loud yes there. Okay, great. Let's get started. I'm so excited to get you this info. First, I need to ask you some questions, though. Are you easily overwhelmed by tasks that were once a breeze for you? Do you get angry or stressed over things that never really used to bother you? Are you gaining belly fat, that dreaded belly fat? Are you having trouble sleeping? Are you having a tough time concentrating? Do you feel like you have brain fog, like you're thinking through pea soup, some people describe it? Are you having food cravings, like sugar or salt? Are you finding yourself catching more colds, like whenever there's anything going around, you're always the first one to get it? How about just being more irritable, more cranky, like mean mommy or impatient daddy? What about using more caffeine or sugar to keep you going throughout the day, and then maybe some alcohol to calm down at night? Another thing I find that bothers people is more aches and pains when they're having trouble with their energy. Well, you know what? I get it, because I've been there too. When I was around 28 years old, I was a resident in OBGYN, and I felt like I'd lost my spark. And this went on for a few years before I finally took charge and started figuring out what I could do about it. At that time, I felt exhausted all the time, even after a full night's sleep and even on vacation. It was a deep down to the bone type of tired that I just found I couldn't get rid of no matter what I did. And I think the worst part about it was, yeah, I was working really hard, but even on the weekends or on vacation, I was too tired to do the things that I used to find fun. On my days off, I just wanted to sleep. Since I was working 80 hours a week as an OBGYN resident, and sometimes more, I just put it down to that. I said, you know what? I'm working really hard. I make sense that I'm tired. And I know a lot of the people that I talk to blame it on whatever's going on in their life, the stress, taking care of the kids, their job, maybe a stressful relationship with their partner or other family members that they've got going on. But deep down inside, a lot of these people that talk about these things, they know, and you might know, just like I did, that something just wasn't right. One night I remember I was driving home from doing a C-section at the hospital in a snowstorm on curvy, treacherous roads, and I wondered how I would ever possibly stay awake or even make it home. And then I had to go home, sleep about 4 hours, and get up and go to the office the next day. And I just wondered how I was making it through every day, and really the joy had just been sapped out of it all. Here I was, living my dream, delivering babies, taking care of women, and I just wasn't really feeling it because I wasn't feeling really good about much of anything at that point. I was so cranky, so tired. I had all the traditional testing for thyroid and blood counts that doctors would normally do, and that testing was all normal. So I wasn't really sure if there was anything I could do about it, and over the years, it just got worse, and it got so bad that I even started to wonder if I was going to be able to keep going in the career as a doctor that I'd worked so hard for. I think that was one of the worst things about it, that here I was a doctor and didn't even know how to help myself, and certainly how I was going to help others who had their own energy struggles. That's when I decided that I really needed answers. I needed to do something about it. So I stopped delivering babies, and I started doing additional medical training in the Fellowship for Anti-Aging and Regenerative Medicine. This is a type of integrative medicine, meaning that it marries the best of what I learned as a traditional doctor, how the body works in parts, with information about how the body really works as a whole, and more holistic ways of healing the body through nutrition, fitness, stress management, hormone balancing and optimizing, instead of only using the methods that I'd used in traditional medicine, like prescribing a pill for every symptom that I had or that my patients had. I jumped in and I learned a ton. And of course, as I started learning, I started making these changes for myself. I was my own guinea pig in a way. And I started to see things improve and ultimately really started feeling like myself again and enjoying life the way that I used to, despite the fact that I was still working lots of hours, had lots going on, have two kids, a husband, all kinds of stuff going on in my life, but I started to feel great again. And that's when I started to use what I'd learned with the people I was seeing in my practice. And I became so passionate about this new way of doing things that it's really become my mission to share this new way of practicing medicine with the world. And I now teach doctors how to help their patients the way I do. And I get to teach doctors all around the world. I've been lucky enough to be able to speak in all parts of the world. And I just love being able to pass on this knowledge. I was even lucky enough to be invited by Dr. Oz to share my fatigue solutions on his show and other TV shows. And magazines like Cosmo, Elle, Shape, and others have asked me to tell them more because this is a new way of doing things that the world needs to know about. So on this seminar, I'm going to teach you the 8 things that you need to know about to rev up your energy, revitalize your mood, and finally drop the weight so you can find what I like to call your fit fantastic you. If you diligently concentrate on these 8 things, you'll see a huge shift. You'll be able to lose weight, your clothes will fit better, you'll start getting compliments, and people are going to wonder if you've been doing something different. Your energy is going to spark back up. Importantly, you're going to reverse the downward spiral that you've been in for too long and finally start heading back up in the right direction, no matter how long it's been that you've been going downhill. Your outlook and your mood is going to shift. Your family is going to notice, and they're going to tell you how much more fun you are to be around and your relationships are going to improve. And the best news of all is that these are small, simple changes that you really can do. First, I don't want to bore you, but I want to talk about a little bit of science. Let's talk about the adrenal glands. The adrenal glands are small glands that sit on top of the kidneys. And they produce hormones like cortisol, DHEA, and other hormones as well. These hormones cause the brain to make epinephrine, or what's called adrenaline, what we normally call adrenaline. So adrenaline is what's responsible for our fight or flight response, right? Like, let's say, God forbid, we get in a near car accident or even a car accident. We know that feeling, that pounding heart feeling that you get. And that's your cortisol stress response. That's your fight or flight response. Now, when we're in a car accident, that's a really good response for our body to have. We need it because that response makes all kinds of changes in our body, changes that increase our blood pressure so that if we were bleeding, that our body would be able to slow the blood flow. Changes like increasing our blood sugar so we can get lots more energy fast, like in that situation we hear about where a mom lifts her car off a baby. It's a crazy circumstance, but your body can go into superhuman strength when this happens. Lots of other things change in the body too during this fight or flight response. The problem is when this response becomes our body's response all the time, because, like I always say, I find that most of the world is living at 75% car accident day in and day out. Well, the problem is then we have this fight or flight response going on all the time, and that is really bad for our body. So we need to figure out how to control that stress response, and that's what I want to teach you about. So what are the 8 things I'm sure you're asking yourself by now? Well, let's jump in and get started fixing what's going on in your body and getting you back to the best that you've ever been. What I want to do is I'm going to blow away some of the myths that you were always taught and things we've always believed and show you that some of these things aren't even true, and some of these things might be some of the very things that are holding you back in your life. Okay, so the eight things. Number one, we're going to start with sleep. Now, of course, it's obvious that you need sleep, but let me ask you some questions so that you think about your own sleep habits while we talk about this. Do you fall asleep easily and wake up all night? Are you still tired when you wake up after a full night's sleep? You're exhausted still in the morning. Do you feel like your brain's turned on all night thinking about the things that worry you? Do you go to bed and wake up at different times every night? Do you get your most restful sleep between the hours of 6 and 9 a.m.? If you do, that is a key hallmark sign that you may be having trouble with your adrenal glands, with this cortisol hormone and that fight or flight response that we talked about. So sleep. We need 7 to 8 hours a night. I know you might be saying to yourself, I don't have time to do that. I can get by on 5 or 6 hours a night of sleep. But I want to tell you, no, you can't. There's plenty of scientific data that proves that people who sleep less than 7 or 8 hours a night will do lots of bad damage to their body. Their weight will increase. That's been shown over and over in studies. So if you want to drop weight, you definitely need to sleep 7 or 8 hours a night. That's going to improve your mood. It's going to improve your memory. It's going to improve all of your hormones, because what the body does while we sleep is it repairs itself and we make hormones. And if we don't sleep at night, we don't have proper hormone balance. And that will screw up everything, basically. So if we don't sleep 7 or 8 hours a night, that increases that cortisol hormone. So that increases the fight or flight response. And that's what this is all about. We've got to decrease the fight or flight response in whatever ways we can. So to improve your sleep, what do you have to do? You have to do something we call sleep hygiene. So here are some of the strategies that we use to do that. One thing is you've got to establish the same bedtime and the same wake-up time daily. And you want to try to make that bedtime before 11 p.m. You need a dark room. Lights interfere with melatonin. That's the hormone that causes us to sleep. One example from one of my patients is you've got to cover every little light in the room. You know, we've got all this blinking stuff going on nowadays, our cell phone chargers, this and that. I had one patient who after I told them that, they went home, they looked at their room in the dark, and they said, oh, my goodness, we've got this big alarm panel, and it's putting out a ton of light. They covered the alarm panel with a black T-shirt, and wouldn't you know it, started sleeping through the night when he hadn't been able to sleep through the night for years. So you've really got to pay attention to those issues. You need a quiet room or one of those sound machines that makes the ocean noises or the forest noises or whatever ones you like. Another thing is you need a bedtime routine. Just as we do this with our kids, we try to establish a bedtime routine with them, we have to establish that for ourselves. So I'd like to see you start to dimming the lights 2 hours before bed. Avoid any stimulants like the TV, like the computer. Try reading something soothing or just some soothing music instead. Avoid alcohol. I know a lot of us feel like alcohol puts us to sleep, but what most of us find is that while alcohol will put us to sleep in the short term, within a couple of hours, we'll be waking up throughout the night, and alcohol can cause that problem. Here's another myth that I want to bust for you. A lot of us hear that we're not supposed to eat before bed, but I actually want you to do the exact opposite, because during the night we have our longest period of fasting, meaning not eating, and that's when our blood sugar can drop. So I find there's a lot of people that tell me they wake up between 1 and 3 a.m., and one of the reasons why can be because your body starts making more cortisol, which is our wake-up hormone, by the way. It makes more cortisol in reaction to low blood sugar. So if we eat a good snack before we go to bed at night, one of my favorite is some apple slices with some almond butter. That might help keep us asleep better through the night. Okay. What about number two, exercise? Let me ask you some questions first. Are you feeling too busy to exercise? Is your workout less effective than it used to be? Is your stamina for your workout decreasing? Do Do you find that you're more tired after you exercise rather than more energized? Listen, this is what I want you to do. If, with the permission of your physician, I want you to start slow, but I want you to start. It's important to get moving. But what I want you to do is I want you to listen to your body carefully. I don't want you to overdo it. I want you to feel regenerated, not exhausted. So some of you, excuse me, need a sip of tea. Some of you may need to start out with just easy things, light things like stretching or maybe some yoga. Whatever you do, make it fun. Add music, maybe do it with friends, and also change up your exercise routine frequently to avoid boredom. Remember, you may need to keep exercise light for this phase of what I'm calling your adrenal recovery, because people whose energy is really, really spent should not exercise heavily. And try to make sure that you exercise during the part of the day when you usually feel most energetic if possible. If you analyze your energy, you'll find maybe you feel most energetic in the morning. Maybe for you it's the evening. Whichever it is, try to get your workout at that time. And remember, if you exercise too late at night, exercise may interfere with your sleep. Here's a surprise about exercise. If you're feeling well enough to exercise and you do go to the gym a lot, and you do cardio machines, you may not be doing yourself a favor. So here's what the research is showing right now about heavy endurance training. I have so many patients who go on the treadmill for extended periods of time or on the elliptical trainer for 45 minutes, an hour, because they really want to bust the weight off. What happens in those cases is you're increasing your fight or flight response, and you're doing it for a long period of time. And they've even shown in studies that even after you quit the activity, your body continues to be in that fight or flight stage for hours and even days. So what you're much better off doing here is what's called burst training. Burst training means doing the cardiovascular activity like running or elliptical or jumping rope or rowing or whatever it is that you like to do, but doing it really hard for 1 minute, hard as you can, and then doing it real easy for 2 minutes. Then go at it again hard for a minute, then easy for 2 minutes. Repeat that cycle, and all you really need is a series of doing that 5 times. So this is the great news. If you don't have time to exercise, I'm sorry, I'm not going to take that excuse anymore, because what I just explained to you only takes 15 minutes. So if you're feeling enough energy to exercise, I want you to spend 15 minutes bursting instead of 45 minutes to an hour on some sort of cardiovascular activity, because what it shows with the burst training is you'll get a short-term increase in your fight or flight hormones, but it's very short-term and it recovers much quicker than you would if you did the other types of activities I talked to you about. All right, well, what about inflammation? Number 3 is inflammation. It's triggered by chemical messengers that are sent throughout the body and can make us sick. It's important for you to know that fat cells increase our inflammation, so getting rid of fat is important in this process. Other things that increase inflammation are infection. Sometimes we need to search for these infections, and one of the most common that I see that causes these problems is candida infections. Some people say candida. These can really zap our energy. Food sensitivities also can trigger inflammation in our gut. That's our colon, where we process food. That can lead to things like irritable bowel syndrome, and even worse, irritable bowel disease. If you've got an irritable bowel, that can be definitely a sign of food sensitivity. So what do I mean by that? I mean bloating, gas, intermittent crampiness, constipation. Any of those things can be symptoms of irritable bowel and can be symptoms of inflammation in your gut. So what I want you to do for that is to try an elimination diet. The most common foods that you've got to get rid of are gluten, dairy, soy, corn, eggs, peanuts, and, of course, sugar. And we're going to talk a little bit more about sugar in a few minutes. So what you want to try to do, the best of all worlds, would be to eliminate those 7 foods for 3 weeks and then systematically add each one back and see how your body's reacting. I will tell you all the time, I see it with people in my practice, especially the probably the most common ones that I see are gluten and dairy. So if you can't do all of that, even just get rid of the gluten and the dairy and see what happens. I guarantee you, you're going to see changes. So now we've just jumped into talking about food. Let's jump in and talk about diet. Do you crave sugar? Are you craving salt? Do you get shaky and sweaty when you don't eat for a few hours? Do you skip breakfast because you're not hungry? Do you crave caffeine or sweets in the afternoon? Do you often skip meals or change your meal times? So let's talk about what happens with diet and the fight or flight response that we've been talking about. So one of the functions of this cortisol hormone that I've mentioned to you is the release of sugar from the liver when blood sugar is low. So what happens when you let yourself get low blood sugar? You're wasting that precious hormone, that cortisol, that you can be using for energy on fighting low blood sugar. So you're stimulating that fight or flight response for no reason, and that causes you to waste energy. So eating too much carbohydrates, for instance, at lunch causes that after lunch crash because your blood sugar goes up, but then whatever goes up must come down. And that crash is going to lead you to be tired. And the same thing happens with the caffeine and sugar that you're probably using around 2 to 4 p.m. to try to overcome the crash that you got from lunch. You get better temporarily, but then, of course, you're just setting yourself up for another crash. So here's the things I want you to do. I want you to eat within an hour of getting up. Make sure you get a good mix of good carbs, protein, and healthy fats. I want you to eat this mix of foods every 3 to 4 hours to balance your blood sugar levels. Avoid the blood sugar peaks and valleys by avoiding the high sugar foods and by not skipping meals. I also want you to avoid processed foods. I want you to stick with natural foods as much as possible. Avoid anything from a bag, a bottle, canned, frozen, and try to eat things that your great-grandmother would have considered to be food. Stay off alcohol, sugar, and caffeine, and keep yourself with really good fiber levels because fiber helps balance blood sugar too. How much fiber, you might be asking? This is going to be hard for some of you to believe and hard for you to achieve unless you make some changes. I want you to get 30 to 50 grams a day. So how do you do that? My favorite way is to take the veggie challenge. I'm asking everybody to try to eat a pound of vegetables a day. I know that sounds crazy, but it's not so hard to do when you concentrate on it. So what about work? Do people call you a workaholic? Has work become more stressful due to layoffs and more job responsibility? Is the work environment less predictable due to restructuring? Are you getting new responsibilities that you're not sure you're equipped to handle? Are you working longer hours just to make the same paycheck? Are you unable to break free of your iPhone or your BlackBerry or your Droid? Is your productivity at work suffering? Is your work at an office or are you a homemaker? Believe me, being a homemaker, I get it. That can be even harder than going to the office because I'll tell you, sometimes after I spend a day at home with the kids, doing everything that needs to be done, I'm thinking, please, let me just go back to the office. It's easier there. So first, some office tips. Think about how you can eliminate some of your work stress by taking some control back. If you don't feel prepared to do a job you're assigned to do, ask for some help or for some additional training to improve how prepared you are. If you've been given an impossible amount of work to accomplish, sit down, be frank with your boss about how much you can accomplish, and work with your boss to prioritize the tasks so you don't have to be so stressed feeling like you have to get it all done and get it all done now. If you're not sure what's expected of you, that can definitely produce stress. So make sure to ask for clear guidelines to know whether or not you're accomplishing the tasks that are needed. Now, what about some homemaker tips? Work harder, work smarter, not harder. One of the big ways to do this is by reducing and eliminating clutter. That's going to help you find things more easily so you're not always searching for everything you need, and that's going to make everything more calm for you and for all the members of your family. Remember to organize the family at night to make the morning rush easier and less stressful. Definitely be a list keeper. Keep a to-do list and organize it by priority. Make doable goals for yourself, and you'll feel so much better as you get to tick each goal off the list. This is a really important one. Don't be a people pleaser. Too many of us, especially women I find though, look to take care of everything for everyone. Instead of trying to do this, ask for help. And don't do everything around the house for people who can easily do these chores for themselves. Get your kids picking up their own rooms, making their own beds. Assign chores to each member of the family so it all doesn't fall on you. One of the most important things I've ever heard from someone was from my pal Anita Riggs, who's a marriage and family therapist, who says, now you might want to write this down, this is super important. When self-care is low, resentment is high. I'll say it again. When self-care is low, resentment is high. So if you're not taking care of yourself and you're finding yourself resentful of everyone else around you, you need to start with you. You need to start with taking better care of yourself, and that will bust the resentment balloon, and you will just feel the air come right out of that resentment, just like a and your relationships will get so much better. And remember, assigning some of these tasks to other people is going to leave you more time to pursue interests like hobbies, exercise, relaxation, meeting with friends, and all of those things are going to help energize you. So speaking of relationships, do you frequently find yourself snapping at people? Do you have someone that you can confide in? Have you lost your sex drive? Do you spend time with people who drain your energy? Do you feel like you can't say no to others? Does the thought of someone bring up angry or bitter thoughts for you? You know we've all been there, but what you've really got to do is you've got to look really critically at your relationships that are in your life and evaluate which relationships are feeding you and nourishing you and which are sucking you dry. Nurture the relationships that feel good and try to minimize the ones that don't feel good for you. Make a list of people you enjoy time with and call them up. Rekindle old relationships. Remember, time with your friends is important, so make some special plans for a girls' or guys' get-together. Resolve disputes in your relationships if possible. Remember that forgiveness related to resolution of disputes, forgiveness can be one of the most important ways to let go of some stress. Unwillingness to forgive hurts us by causing us to hold on to bitterness and resentment. And if you're really having trouble getting over some bitterness or resentment or letting go, consider some spiritual guidance or counseling if you're having that tough time letting go of anger and resentment. And even consider seeking forgiveness from those who you have wronged in the past. Sometimes alleviating that guilt can really light the way to deeper peace for you. And speaking of peace, let's talk about relaxation. Do you feel guilty about taking vacations? Do you have a place to go that provides guilt-free pleasure and relaxation? Do worries and work follow you into vacation and recreation times? Are you too tired to do anything fun during free time? Can you relax easily? If not, you need to find ways of relaxing that work for you. Find yourself a special spot, a relaxation spot, a familiar and comfortable place where you can go to have a timeout. I say grown-ups need timeout too. So take time out for meditation. If you don't know how to meditate, Google the words guided meditation and click on videos. There are guided meditation videos that run anywhere from 3 minutes all the way up to an hour. And be taken through a guided meditation. Just plug some headphones into your laptop computer, or you can use your iPhone, and just stop and do a guided meditation. It's going to feel great. Try some relaxing yoga, tai chi, qigong, massage, spiritual or relaxing reading, prayer, bathing, walking or hiking in nature, laughing with friends. Make yourself a relaxing music playlist, or even just do some deep belly breathing several times a day. Find what works for you, but all of those things are important to decrease that fight or flight, that those cortisol levels. Everything that I mentioned has been shown in the scientific literature to reduce your cortisol, and that's what we need to do to bring that cortisol down to help re-energize you, which will also help drop that belly fat too. Okay, and finally, finances. Are you constantly worried about your finances, your bills? Do you feel guilty spending money on things that aren't necessities? Are you afraid to even answer the phone or go to the mailbox for fear of creditors calling? You need to make yourself a plan. Find yourself a competent advisor and make a plan to work on your debt reduction and create a plan for financial stability. Making a plan and sticking to it can bring you an amazing sense of calm. Well, I hope you got a lot of good information and ideas to help you with your path to taking control of your energy. Remember to take control of these 8 areas to find your fit, fantastic you. Remember sleep, exercise, inflammation, diet, work, relationships, relaxation, and finances. I really look forward to helping you on this journey and connecting with you lots more in the future and offering you lots more great information to really help you re-energize your mood, revitalize your energy, and finally drop the weight so you can find your fit, fantastic you. See you next time. Have a great day. Bye.